Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, I'm known as the Success Alchemist, and you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube as Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 2nd of May 2020, and in this week's show I've got a lot of information to share. Hope I have time to go through all of it with you. The key topics this week are going to be about the document release relating to General Flynn. I'm going to be looking at Joe Biden and these sexual assault allegations by Tara Reid. Also, there have been a lot of Q posts in this past week. If my arithmetic is correct, we've had 57 Q drops since last week. And I'm going to go through as many of those as possible, but I'm going to approach it in a slightly different way this week, instead of going through them sequentially from the earliest one. I've actually decided to split them into topics so we can follow the thread in relation to these specific topics rather than jumping from one topic to another. So I'm going to start by looking at the situation with the release of the documents from the FBI relating to General Flynn. And these were released last week, the week that's just gone. And I'm going to start by going through the content of those documents. And these are notes from meetings leading up to the interview of General Flynn. And obviously, they're going to show the agenda as to why this interview was done. So I won't go into that. I'll let the documents speak for themselves. And this first one is an email from Peter Strzok, and it's dated January 24th, 2017. And this is what it says. I'm sure he's thought through these, but for DD, and I think that's Deputy Director's consideration, about how to answer in advance of his call with Flynn. So obviously they're setting up the Deputy Director with some questions that Flynn was likely to ask and how he's actually going to answer these. These are the questions. Am I in trouble? Am I the subject of an investigation? Is it a criminal investigation? Is it an espionage investigation? Do I need an attorney? Do I need to tell Priebus, the president? Will you tell Priebus, the president? Will you tell the White House what I tell you? What happens to the information? Who will you tell what I tell you? Will you need to interview other people? Will our interview be released publicly? Will the substance of our interview be released? How long will this take? In brackets, depends on his cooperation. I'd plan 45 minutes. Can we do this over the phone? I can explain all this right now. I did this. Do you shut him down? This is in square brackets. Hear him out. Conduct the interview if he starts talking. Do you want another agent witness standing by in case he starts doing this? Thanks, Pete. And then the next one is the title of the email is Question Regarding 1001, and the from addresses are redacted. The two addresses to Lisa Page and Peter Strock, and there's another name redacted, and this was the 23rd of January. I haven't read the policy lately, but if I recall correctly, you can say it at any time. I'm 90% sure about that, but I can check in the AM. And he's replying to an email earlier that day from Lisa Page, the other name is redacted, to, and a couple of names, well, three names are redacted there, but the one left open is Peter Strock. I have a question for you. Could the admonition re-1001 be given at the beginning of at the interview? And if you look this up, 1001 is related to an offence of giving false information. And of course, this is what, or lying, and this is what Flynn was actually accused of. I'll continue. Or does it have to come following a statement which agents believe to be false? Does the policy speak to that? I feel bad that I don't know this, but I don't remember ever having to do this. Plus, I've only charged it once in the context of lying to a federal probation officer. It seems to be, if the former, then it would be an easy way to just casually slip that in. Of course, as you know, sir, federal law makes it a crime too, and dot, dot, dot. Okay, the next email, let me just, it's actually repeated, this email in the document that I've got. Let me scroll down. The next thing is some handwritten notes. And some of these words are a little bit difficult to read, but the date was the 24th of January. And there's a blacked out section on the left of this document that says DD. So presumably that again is Deputy Director. And underneath, we have a case on Flynn and Russians. Our goal is to resolve case. Our goal is to determine if Mike Flynn is going to tell the truth about his relationship with Russians. Can quote, and the name is redacted, shouldn't, I think, and then redacted. And at the bottom of the page, there's another section redacted, and then I'm not quite sure what it says right at the bottom. Review on standalone, I think, but I'm not absolutely sure about that. And then in the next column on the right, it's headed afterwards, and underneath it says interview. I agreed yesterday that we shouldn't, I think it says stop Flynn, if redacted section then, if he didn't admit. I thought about it last night and I believe we should rethink this. What's our goal? Truth stroke admission, or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? We regularly show subjects evidence with the goal of getting them to admit their wrongdoing. I don't see how getting someone to admit their wrongdoing is going easy on him. If we get him to admit to breaking the Logan Act, give facts, I think, to DOJ and have them decide. Or if he initially lies, then we present him, and then as a redacted part, and he admits it, document for DOJ and let them decide how to address it. If we're seen as playing games, I think White House will be furious. Protect our institution by not playing games. And then there's a big redacted section at the bottom. And that's the conclusion of the documents that have currently been released. Now, I said in last week's show and on previous shows that I thought that President Trump, when he was asked by a journalist at one of his briefings if he would pardon General Flynn, he replied that he would think about it, but he was going to watch the case unfold. And I believe that that was because he felt that Flynn would be exonerated and that in that process, a lot of this information would come out to show the level of corruption in the FBI and the DOJ. And it looks highly likely that once Flynn is exonerated, that he's likely to rejoin Trump's administration. And I found a short video that was posted on Facebook of Trump and basically accusing and naming names of people who he believed were guilty or had committed treason. The usual suspects. I can't remember all the names now. I don't have it in front of me, but I think Comey was definitely one of them. I'm going to move on to just covering one or two recent articles that have come out on this subject. The first one is by the Gateway Pundit, and it's titled Breaking: Former FBI General Counsel James Baker Has Flipped. Durham is building conspiracy case on all of those who lied to the court. Former US Attorney Joe DeGenova was on the Howie Carr show this week, and he provided some more inside information regarding General Flynn's case and the unravelling of the coup to remove President Trump from office. Former US Attorney was on with Howie Carr again this week, and he dropped some more bombshells about the current investigation of the investigators involved in removing President Trump and his team from office. DeGenova discussed the Durham investigation and said at the 5:30 mark that Durham is building a conspiracy case and anyone who lied to the court will be indicted for obstruction of justice charges. He said, "The bottom line is this, it's unfolding, and what's happening is, what Durham is actually doing is he's painting a picture, and not every one of these acts is going to be a specific separate crime. But they are going to be what's called overt acts in a conspiracy. One to defraud the United States government, one to deny the civil rights of Trump and Flynn and Page and a bunch of other people." And he's referring here to Carter Page, and obviously not Lisa Page. At the 8:55 mark, DeGenova drops another bomb when discussing the notes that were released today that show the government was actively working to frame General Flynn. And this article was published on the 29th of April. DeGenova, "You know Baker is working with Durham, James Baker, the former general counsel." Carr replied, "He's flipped." DeGenova, who was a target, is now understandably cooperating because he was looking at a boatload of criminal charges. Once these notes were discovered, and by the way, these were the notes that FBI Director Chris Wray and Dana Buente did not want turned over. At the 10:30 mark, DeGenova discussed the General Flynn case that is falling apart on the Mueller gang as we speak. Hero General Flynn was set up and framed by Obama's deep state. He was illegally spied on and coerced into a guilty plea by the Mueller gang and his then attorneys by threatening to arrest and indict his son. Neither Flynn or his son committed any crimes. During a status hearing before his sentencing date, the judge overseeing his case went crazy, accusing General Flynn of treason. DeGenova explains, "I have no idea what's in the mind of Judge Emmett Sullivan, who used to seem like he was a really disinterested kind of noble guy. He proved that right in the Ted Stevens case. But his comments during the final status hearing, before he set a sentencing date for General Flynn, were so awful and so fundamentally stupid. And we found out, we did an analysis, my Victoria and I did an analysis of the statements he made on the record. We got the transcript. Remember when he came out and he accused the general of committing treason and started asking him a series of questions that the prosecutors, who were fumbling, they didn't know how to answer him. He said in a series of statements, the judge did, exact words, line for line, that Rachel Maddow has said the night before on her show when commenting on the upcoming Flynn hearing. It's scary, and if that's what this guy is looking at before he comes out on the bench... He came out after a break and apologised for using the word treason, but his conduct since then has been bizarre. I don't know whether the guy's sick, old or not ready for prime time anymore. It seems to be a disease that's prominent in Washington DC. Biden can't talk, Pelosi can't talk, the judge in the Flynn case can't talk. It's amazing. DeGeneva went on to suggest that the president is going to pardon Roger Stone or do something before he's put in jail. The judge in that case, Amy Berman Jackson, was horrible, as we've reported numerous times at this news site. And the article ends by saying, Obama's crooks in the deep state, FBI, DOJ and intel committees cannot go to jail soon enough. If they committed treason, they should be dealt with promptly. The next article I want to quote from is by Red State, and it's titled Dan Bongino Identifies Several Overlooked Details in the Flynn Case. It was worse than we thought. Dan Bongino opened his podcast today, and this was dated the 30th of April, by telling his viewers of a text message he received on Wednesday night from a friend who asked, "What country do we even live in anymore?" Good question. As the dust settled after last night's earthquake in the FBI's fraudulent case against General Michael Flynn, an understandably angry Bongino presented his viewers with a complete history of the case. For those who might be unfamiliar with the backstory, Dan provides the how and the why of it in the video below in the article. And of course, as usual, I'll share the links to the articles and other things that I'm quoting from. To be included in the YouTube video description. The episode of Dan Bongino's podcast is number 1240. In the process, he hits upon several details to which very little, if any, attention has been paid. I will be addressing these points in this post. The deep state and the mainstream media have always had a symbiotic relationship, but until candidate Donald Trump came on the scene in 2015, it's never been quite this evident. The media played a critical role in promoting the Russian collusion hoax, and most of the time they were well aware of this, but at other times they might not have realised they were simply seen simply as useful idiots by deep state operatives who needed them to advance their agendas. In an October 24, 2019 filing, Flynn's lawyers alleged that Colonel James Baker, director of the Office of Net Assessment at the Pentagon, leaked copies of the transcripts from Flynn's December 2016 telephone calls to then-Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak to the Washington Post's David Ignatius, with whom Baker had regularly scheduled lunches. The filing also claims that then-Director of National Intelligence James Clapper called Ignatius on or before January 10, 2017 and said words to the effect of, "Take the kill shot on Flynn." On January 12, 2017, Ignatius did indeed take the kill shot and published an article about Flynn's phone calls with Kislyak. This often cited piece marked the beginning of Flynn's current troubles. He adds, "To my knowledge, it has not yet been proven that Baker leaked the transcripts, but whoever it was who did leak this material has committed a felony." Next, Bongino highlighted an article that had obviously been planted for political purposes. On January 23, 2017, the day before FBI agents arrived at the White House to interview General Flynn, two Washington Post reporters, likely unwittingly, reprised their roles as useful idiots and performed an indispensable service. Ellen Nakashima and Greg Miller wrote an article entitled FBI Reviewed Flynn's Calls with Russian Ambassador but Found Nothing Illicit. FBI agents knew the article would put Flynn at ease, making him more willing to speak with them. Flynn would be less apt to request a lawyer and likely wouldn't request that the FBI go through the proper channels, the White House counsel's office, to set up an interview, Bongino explained. Obviously, they were right, because when the agents arrived at the White House, they reported that Flynn had been relaxed and genial. He viewed them as his allies. He didn't realize they had come for an ambush. This article was published for one reason. Bongino told viewers to get Flynn to let his guard down, to soften him up. He said that article is damning. Both of these things can't be true. The article in the Washington Post said there was nothing illicit about the calls. That can't be true if the next day the FBI went to interview Flynn about illicit calls. Either they were illicit or they weren't. And you should be asking yourself, why would they leak that to two useful idiots in the media like Nakashima and Miller? Because they knew they'd print it, and they knew Flynn would read it, and they knew Flynn's guard would be down. Bongino pointed out another consequential detail at the bottom of the cover letter, which accompanied the documents that were turned over to Flynn's legal team last Friday. He credits the anonymous lawyer who posts on Twitter as Technofog for spotting this. If you scroll down to the bottom of the first page in the scribed document below, you'll notice the following notation in the footnote: DOJSCO and then a number, 2 DOJSCO and another number. DOJSCO is Department of Justice Special Counsel Office, ? Does this mean that the Special Counsel's Office had these documents all along, the ones they said they didn't have? It sure looks that way. Bongino says, so what you're telling me, Techno, who is always light years ahead of the case, is that the Bob Mueller Special Counsel team may have already had the documents they turned over. Wouldn't that be a little diamond in the rough? When does the Bob Mueller Andy Weissman investigation start? Then the article has an image of the document or the email that was sent from the Department of Justice, Timothy J. Shea, United States Attorney, to Sidney Powell, who is obviously Flynn's lawyer, and Jesse Binnell at Harvey and Binnell PLLC. Don't know who that is, but. And there's a short letter saying they're enclosing the documents. And at the bottom, there's another reference to these DOJSCO numbers. The letter also says additional documents may be forthcoming, which will be very interesting. And then there's actually a link to Scribd to actually access these documents. Finally, Bongino told viewers that motives matter. He looked at why Flynn had become a target of the Obama administration. First, he featured an article written by Michael Ledeen in May 2019, which appeared in the Washington Examiner. Ledeen writes, he was essentially fired from the Defense Intelligence Agency by Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, who told him he should retire. This came on the heels of Flynn's sworn congressional testimony criticizing the Obama administration's failed Afghanistan policy. This showed once again that Flynn understood how badly we were doing and would not collude with the Intelligence Committee. Indeed, he intended to carry out an audit of covert funding since the creation of the CIA. None has been done in all those years. A second reason for their animosity toward Flynn was his very vocal opposition to the Iran deal, which Obama saw as his signature negotiation. Next, Bongino featured an article written by John Solomon and Sarah Carter in July 2017. 2 years earlier, Flynn had intervened on behalf of a decorated counter-terrorism agent who had accused then-Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe and other top officials of sexual discrimination. For these, and I'm sure other similar reasons, many Obama administration officials, including Obama himself, felt that Flynn had to go down. On November 10th, 2016, 2 days after President Trump's stunning victory over Hillary Clinton, he met with President Obama in the Oval Office for a 90-minute meeting. Former White House officials later told NBC News that Obama warned the president-elect about two individuals. The first was Kim Jong-un, and the other was General Michael Flynn. The last article I want to reference on this topic is by realclearpolitics.com, and it's titled, James Comey Says He Violated Protocol in Flynn Investigation. Fired FBI Director James Comey told MSNBC's Nicole Wallace during a December 2019 conversation that he sent, and that's in quotes, FBI agents to be in the room during an interrogation of fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Flynn eventually pleaded guilty to lying to FBI agents, but is now seeking to withdraw the plea. Incidentally, this again was published on April 30th. When asked how there were other FBI agents there, Comey said he sent them, in quotes again, noting it is, in quotes, something I probably wouldn't have done or gotten away with in a more organized investigation. A more organized investigation, end quote. And then from the interview, Nicole Wallace says, you look at this White House now and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents hanging out in the Situation Room. How does that happen? James Comey answered, I sent them, and the crowd laughs. Something, he goes on to say, something I probably wouldn't have done or gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, the Bush administration, the Obama administration. The FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official. You would work through the White House counsel and there were discussions and approvals and it would be there. And I thought, it's early enough. Let's just send a couple of guys over. So now I'm going to cover some of the Q drops that have come out this week. As I said at the beginning of the show, there were 57 I counted. And actually, while I've been recording this show, there have been more Q drops coming in. So I think we'll take a look at those before the end of the show as well. I'm not going to go through every drop because I just won't have the time available on the show. I'm going to pick out the most significant ones. So the first is on the 26th of April, and it's a link to a tweet by Maria Bartiromo. I'll just bring that up. And she says, breaking news. Sources tell me General Flynn will be completely exonerated this week. It was a total fraud, a setup. Morning tomorrow. At Mornings Maria, at Fox Business, at Fox News, at Sunday Futures. So she's obviously a Fox interviewer or host. That was drop number 3988. The next one I want to look at is 3990, 3990, the corrupt FBI chain of command. And it's got an image of the FBI chain of command for the mid-year investigation. And it's an org chart, basically. FBI chain of command, mid-year investigation. And in square brackets, HRC email, question mark. FBI chain of command, Pfizer, Russia, POTUS, Flynn, Stone, Papadopoulos, Manafort. In square brackets, CIA bridge underscore Brennan, Intel assess, I presume assessment. And he's got 17 in square brackets. I'm not sure what that relates to. Of course, it stands for Q, but I'm not sure that that's what is implied here. and then Ukraine link, question mark. FBI chain of command, DNC hack, CIA bridge to Ukraine, CrowdStrike underscore Brennan. And it was CrowdStrike in the Ukraine who claimed that the DNC had been hacked by the Russians, whereas, as I said in last week's show, it's believed that Seth Rich actually hacked or took the documents out and put them onto a thumb drive. So, interestingly, also in that transcript of the call to the Ukraine president, CrowdStrike was mentioned there as well, and I think that was to start to bring that name into the public eye. Reconcile. If chain of command plus DOJ, CIA, F plus D, foreign and domestic, found guilty, indictment, CHAP, which I think is chapter 115, plus classification 1 to 99, re USA V, I'm not quite sure what this means, in brackets 1, 2, 3 to 6. Re FISA, can the same argument be made, re mid-year plus DNC? And then in square brackets, reference, public optics, retired left refers to fired stroke forced. And then he lists out all the people that have been fired or removed from the FBI. General counsel, all sorts of roles. I won't read all those. Go and look at post 3990 and you can find these drops on qmap.pub. You may have to scroll down and go to the next page because of the number of drops that have been made recently. 3991 is a meme showing the images of all these people that were fired. I'm going to jump to drop 3999, which is a redrop of 3693. Same evidence to free Flynn, currently being used to indict others by grand jury. And that's the title given by one of the anons. And it says, same evidence to free Flynn, currently being used to indict others, in square brackets, GJ, grand jury. 302 modified, in brackets, one count. Who listened in square brackets, two, and then count, in square brackets, FISA, question mark. In square brackets, six counts. And that's possibly what he was referencing in the earlier drop, the 1, 2, 3 to 6. FBI agent, one, in square brackets, P, Flynn interview. If FISA warrant was illegal, if FISA warrant predicated on illegal, uncorroborated, if FISA actors purposely withheld exculpatory evidence from the court, watch what happens next. Q. So this is implying that the grand jury investigation or proceedings are complete and the evidence can now be used to free Flynn. Now, I don't have time to read these, but interspersed with some of these drops directly about Flynn and even the Russia hoax or Russian collusion investigation are several drops relating to how the deep state were communicating, and they were using messaging on video games. So take a look at those, starting at 3994 through 8, 3998, and then 4000. 4001 and 2, 4004, 4005. They're all related to this comms. And interestingly, one of the drops relates to Soros investigating in a video game company. So obviously implying that Soros is behind a lot of this. And then in drop 4006, there's a link to a tweet by Trump saying, "My campaign for president was conclusively spied on. Nothing like this has ever happened in American politics. A really bad situation. Treason means long jail sentences, and this was treason." Post 4008 is headed, "We are in a silent, irregular war against an invisible enemy, running an insurgency against the USA." And Q says, "Read slowly and carefully. Knowledge is power." And it's a link to a government document. And I'm not going to read it all because it's quite long, this one. But go and look at 4008. Then we have drop 4011, Calm Before the Storm. And there's a link to a Twitter post in here. B.H. Weingarten. And underneath that, it says, "Crossfire Hurricane, Crossfire Typhoon, Cross Wind." And in square brackets, CLAS, which I think is classification, 1 to 99, unreleased, redacted. You didn't think the statement by POTUS read Calm Before the Storm was just random, did you? Transparency brings accountability. So I think this is referencing Crossfire Hurricane was the name, project name given to this whole investigation into Russian collusion by Trump and his team. Crossfire Typhoon and Crosswind were related projects that were to do with surveillance, including General Flynn. I'm not sure what the other one was. So it looks like we're going to get more unreleased documents which are going to hold these people accountable for their illegal actions. And in 4012, there's the image of American coup d'etat and all these people that have been involved in this Spygate situation. And underneath, Q says, "When this is finished, a much bigger graphic will be needed. Much bigger. Biggest political scandal in American history." In drop 4016, Q says, "Was the DNC hacked by Russia? Question mark. CIA, in square brackets, Brennan, force. Seth Rich, internal, DL, hand-to-hand pass, USA. CrowdStrike code, insert. If FBI chain of command was corrupt, what other investigations were corrupted? Who did they provide cover for? How far back did it go? Q." And as you can see, there's a reference here to Seth Rich, as I was mentioning earlier, that it was actually Seth Rich who actually hacked into the DNC server or accessed it and downloaded the files onto a thumb drive, not CrowdStrike. And in post 4023, again, there's a link to a Twitter post. And this is by Ronan McDaniel, at GOP chairwoman. "Yesterday, a massive story broke about FBI malfeasance at the dawn of real Donald Trump's administration. How many times did the mainstream media mention it during their morning shows? CNN 0, CBS 0, ABC 0, NBC 0, MSNBC 0. Unreal." So this is obviously referencing the fact that the mainstream media fake news are obviously not wanting to put this out into the public domain because it completely undermines or nullifies all of the reporting, if you can call it that, that they did on Flynn, on the Russia collusion story and so on. It discredits them completely. And for those people that are getting very impatient at the slowness of the rollout of these arrests and indictments and so on, in drop 4024, Q says, sometimes you can't tell the public the truth. You must show them. A deeply entrenched enemy who controls the vast majority of communications is only defeated by, and then there's a number of dots, and underneath, game theory. And there's a lot of talk amongst the Anons about how game theory is being used by the White Hats, the Alliance, in this takedown of the deep state. And this goes back as well to what I've been saying, you know, over multiple shows, that this is a strategy of exposure, that the information about the corruption, everything that the evil deep state has been doing, can't just be put out there in one massive drop. It has to be dripped out to people who just have no idea about what's been going on, because they've been basically lied to and misled by the mainstream media, the fake news media. And Trump has been, you know, repeatedly accusing the mainstream media of being fake news to really get the public used to the idea that these so-called journalists are not providing real news, they're just providing a deep state narrative. Now, drop 4026, 4026 is interesting, and it relates to the article I read just earlier in this show about what James Comey had said about sending FBI agents into the White House. And it's got a screenshot of a definition of paint the roses red. And it means to frantically attempt to cover up a mistake with severe consequences, popularized by Alice in Wonderland. And there's a link to a Comey Twitter post. I can't see the date on this. Hang on one second. Yeah, 30th of April. And it's an image of a red rose. And underneath the image, Q says, denied. Justice will be served. So it really sounds like Comey is going to be going down with the rest of the people involved in this whole Russian collusion hoax, the Flynn indictment, the Roger Stone indictment, and so on and so forth. I'm going to jump to 4044, and this is an image. It's got Spygate at the top and images of Obama, Schiff, Brennan, McCabe, and I'm not sure, I can't remember who the other guy is. Never has a president left office to collude with others to impede the next sitting president of the United States of America until Obama. And it also links to another tweet by Donald Trump, who's replying to a tweet by Kimberly Strassel. The FBI knew Michael Flynn wasn't colluding with Russia, so it plotted to get him to lie. New documents reveal that by the end, the Bureau just wanted a scalp, writes Kim Castle, WallStreetJournal.com. And Donald Trump replies, the Russia hoax is the biggest political scandal in American history. Treason. Let's see how it ends. ? So that's all I have time for on this topic, but I'm sure we're going to see a lot more disclosure coming out. Interestingly, there's also a whole series of drops starting at 4027, going through to 4036 and then 4038, that is referencing the Iran connection, not only with Obama, but with quite a number of other members of the administration, and also including Peter Strzok's Iranian connection, and also Lisa Page. So those are worth looking at. There's a lot of Twitter links included there. So take a look at those. And if you remember Flynn, in the article that I read to you, Flynn was actually looking into the how the Obama administration were kind of sympathizers of Iran. And there's even, let me see if I can find it. Yes, Drop 4033 is actually a link to a Twitter post by Deep State Expose showing a video of Obama taking credit for training ISIS and ISIL forces. So, you know, this is one of the reasons they wanted to take Flynn down, because he was aware of this and was actually going to be exposing it. Now, while I've been recording this, I said there've been a lot of Q drops coming in, and it's another series of links to Twitter posts by people using the hashtag Where We Go One We Go All, showing their support for the Q movement. It's just showing the rate at which the Great Awakening is happening, and how many people are now following the Q movement and really supporting the takedown of the deep state, which is extremely encouraging. I'm now going to move on to the subject of Joe Biden and the sexual assault allegations by Tara Reid, who worked in Biden's administration when he was in the Senate. And there was a short interview that was put out on Facebook. It was one of the fake news sites, interestingly. I can't remember which one it was now. And he was asked by the interviewer if he would release the documents that are held, that are actually sealed at the University of Delaware, because Tara Reid claims that she reported this sexual assault and the records are probably held in these Senate records at the University of Delaware. Well, Biden just handled this question so ineptly. Obviously, he was struggling to find a sensible answer, basically saying they shouldn't be revealed because he's running for public office, and that there are conversations that have been recorded there with world leaders and that might be misconstrued. That's an interesting way of putting it. And the interviewer persisted, saying, but they could just do a search for Tara Reid. Why wouldn't you do that? Now, interestingly, what's been revealed is that, and this is a Fox News article, is that Biden operatives access secret Senate records at the University of Delaware before mid-March. Joe Biden's campaign dispatched operatives to the University of Delaware's library in the past year to rifle through his secretive Senate records there, Business Insider reported Thursday, raising the possibility they accessed documents related to Tara Reid's accusation that he sexually assaulted her when she worked for him in 1993. The development comes as both The Atlantic and The Washington Post argued that Biden should instruct the university to turn over the records, saying they could contain confirmation of any complaint Ms. Reid made, either through official congressional channels or to the three other employees she claimed she informed, not specifically of the alleged assault, but more generally of harassment. And in this same interview, Biden actually denied remembering Tara Reid and also denied that the incident happened. And one of the Anons, I think, pointed out, you know, well, if he doesn't remember her at all, how can he deny that it happened? What's also very interesting is that, you know, the Democrats are standing up for Biden. The fake news is not really reporting on this. And there's a huge contrast, and this is interesting, there's a huge contrast between accusations that were made about Kavanaugh when he was being in the hearing prior to his appointment to the Supreme Court, and the way that accusations about Biden have been treated. So the Me Too movement has disappeared. There's none of this believe women, believe all women. They've done the Democrats and those Me Too supporters have done a complete about face, despite the fact that there are more grounds for this investigation into Biden than there ever were in the Kavanaugh case. But interestingly, the DC police department have actually changed the status of the investigation to from active to inactive. So I have to wonder, you know, if somebody's got to them basically to put a lid on this this accusation against Biden. But of course, what this has done is it's brought out of the woodwork again all these videos of Biden, creepy Joe, touching children, and oh, it's horrible to look at. There's another article I want to reference, and this is by thefederalist.com, put out on the 1st of May. And this again relates to the contrast between the approach to the accusations against Biden and what was the way it was handled with Kavanaugh. Democrats demanded millions of Kavanaugh records but stay mum on Biden's Senate records. After historical theatrics demanding records from Brett Kavanaugh's career, Democrats haven't said a word as Biden conceals Senate records. And this is by Molly Hemingway. The hypocrisy of Democrats and their media allies is on prominent display in their handling of sexual assault allegation against Joe Biden versus their treatment of Brett Kavanaugh. Another example of the hypocrisy relates to the demand, or lack thereof, for documents related to the official government work of the two men. On the 29th of April, an article on NPR.org says new information emerges around Biden's sexual assault allegation. So there is more information coming out about this, despite the fact that, you know, the fake news and the Democrats want to quash this. New information has emerged in recent days about a sexual assault allegation against the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, made by Tara Reid, a former staff assistant in Biden's Senate office. For the first time, someone has gone on the record to say that Reid detailed the allegation to her decades ago in the same way Reid is describing it now. I don't have time to go through that whole article, but go and take a look at it when the recording is put out. And then something very interesting has cropped up in the last week or so, and it's about Senator Lindsey Graham. And there have been a lot of people who have questioned Lindsey Graham's loyalty to Trump, whether he is actually a deep state asset. You know, he's been photographed with members of the deep state in the past, but, you know, seemed to have then moved into a position of supporting Trump. But something happened recently that raised a red flag for me when he said he would like or recommend or suggest that Bill Gates should become head of the World Health Organization. Well, as I said in last week's show and previous shows, Gates is part of the deep state, this agenda to depopulate, to get mass vaccinations and mandatory vaccinations introduced, and even microchipping and tracking. So he's definitely not somebody that we would want doing anything like that. And of course, the World Health Organization has been discredited anyway because of the handling of the virus. But then Graham comes out, Lindsey Graham comes out and defends Biden against sexual assault allegation, but calls on him to release Senate personal papers. And this is on IJR.org. Senator Lindsey Graham is coming to Joe Biden's defense as the former vice president is facing a sexual assault allegation by a former Senate staffer. During a Fox News Hannity interview late Friday, Graham said, and this was actually put out today, the 2nd of May. Graham said, "The Joe Biden I know, I've never seen anything or believe that he would do anything like this until you convince me otherwise." Which is interesting because, as I said, we've seen all these creepy videos of him, you know, pawing these children. And apparently there are another seven sexual assault claims or at least inappropriate sexual behavior coming out relating to Joe Biden. So we'll have to see how this plays out. Obviously, he's denying it to the last breath in his body, and the Democrats are all coming out and endorsing Joe Biden as the presidential candidate. But the question still arises whether he will be replaced at the last minute. Heaven forbid it will be Hillary Clinton. People have mentioned Michelle Obama as well. So it could be a kind of bait and switch tactic, because Biden just continues to make the same gaffes over and over again, and his complete inability to put together coherent sentences means he wouldn't stand a chance against Trump if he was to go up against him in a debate. He'd be absolutely torn to pieces. Now, I've only got a couple of minutes left, but just before I finish, I'd just like to reference or refer you to an article by justthenews.com, and it was put out on the 29th of April, and it relates to what I was talking about last week about the fact that documentation regarding or related to Christopher Steele's creation of the dossier had been removed, deleted, or I don't think they were lost, they were deleted. And that's referenced in this article. And the title is "Steele Reveals He Believes Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice Knew About His Anti-Trump Research." Rice denies former British spy's account, which comes in a novel litigation by three Russian businessmen suing over Britain's data laws. The documents underlying his now infamous Russian dossier are long since destroyed, but Christopher Steele's recollections of his political opposition research on President Trump nearly 4 years later are poised to create new heartburn for Democrats. The testimony makes his most direct link yet between his Russia collusion research and the top of the Clinton campaign and Obama White House. So go and take a look at that article when it's shared with the YouTube video. I'm just about running out of time here. I hope you found that information helpful. I'm really encouraged by the signs that the D-class is happening and that the plan is rolling out perfectly. So keep the faith, trust the plan. This is really exciting. And, you know, to see these people, their corruption revealed to everyone, assuming that you don't just watch the fake news where they're not reporting it, it's really, I think, the start of this avalanche of information that's going to come out, the D5 that Q references. Okay, so please join me next week. Thank you for listening. Again, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and on YouTube and Facebook, Jan Shaw, The Success Alchemist. And I do retweet a lot of intel on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. So thank you very much. I'll be back next week with another show bringing you up to date on the latest developments and some interpretation of the current affairs. And I hope you'll join me then. And thank you to Nancy for producing.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.